Sky Sports Radio loves talking racing. The people, the jockeys, the horses. Time now for Punter's Postmortem. Analysis of the weekend's racing, plus your calls. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem on a Tuesday morning. That's it, with a long weekend of racing. And wasn't it a long weekend of racing? Way back to Moonee Valley on Friday night with the Moya. What a terrific day, Epsom Day. We had Sunday racing at Caulfield, racing yesterday, and it's great to be on the program. But I want to start Punter's Postmortem with the news this morning, and incredibly sad news to a member of the 2KY family from a number of years ago, but he's always been spoken about in a high way at the station. Radio and TV presenter Ron Casey has passed away. The case was 89, and he passed away at Royal North Shore Hospital. He hosted, of course, shows here on 2KY as well as 2SM and 2GB, and he covered sport on all the stations, 7, 9 and 10. He was a legend at 2KY back in his time, and our condolences from our racing and sporting family go to the family of Ron Casey, passing away overnight at the age of 89. And I know Ron Duffy is first up this morning. Duff, good morning to you. He was a top bloke around, 2KY when they were back at Parramatta and even before that.
He certainly was, Andrew, a real character, outspoken character at that. But, he was held in very high regard at 2KY. There's no doubt about that. Plenty to talk about this morning. Where
do we start?
Friday night was so long ago. We had a great meeting at Randwick. Obviously, Moonee Valley was fantastic on Friday night. The Chautauqua story, the Everest pictures, still not clear. What's the next move someone's going to make, and what's going to happen with these two horses that are under an injury cloud?
Yeah, we'll give you the update on that shortly. Glenn Munsey from TAB. Morning, Muns.
Morning, Benz. Good morning, Ronnie. Ronnie Casey, a former student of the great Marcelin College at Randwick, a stone's throw from the Randwick racecourse there, and my old school, and one of the famous old boys of that college. And, well, I suppose Ron, he'd been around for many, many years, but probably made famous later in his career for putting one on the chin of Normie Rowe on the midday show.
For all the good work he did, he'll be certainly remembered for that.
Yeah, well, if you're going to go down for something, Andrew, I suppose, you might as well be remembered for something that did cause a fairly large furor at the time. And, he was well into his, nudging 70 at that stage, Ron, if not very, very close to it. But he jumped out of his chair and just went whack and put one straight on his Vera Lynn. It made headlines all around the country, that situation there. And it did shock the hosts. And I'm sure a lot of the daytime audiences of the midday show at that time.
Massive news. The markets have just been spinning around across the weekend.
Oh, Andrew, what about, as Ronnie said, Friday night seems an eternity ago when we had, Chautauqua not getting out of the barriers. We had Vidora blasting down the centre of the track there to win at Moonee Valley, the bubble bursting on Nature Strip, and then less than 24 hours later it was gone, and we've gone another 48 hours from there, and we could have another two that are gone in the Everest. So people are, busily behind the scenes working out what's going on to see what the makeup of this race is going to be. And it's not on for another 2 weeks' time.
No, Saturday week. Dean Lester, good morning.
Good morning, Andrew.
What about all of that? What about Moonee Valley? What about Caulfield on Sunday?
Yeah, it's been a hectic weekend. But, Caulfield Sunday, I think, there was some terrific racing. And certainly, I think the Underwood certainly shaped towards the Cups, I think, with the performances of especially Toast and Basil Holmesman. They're both very good going forward towards the Cups.
We'll try and do it in some sort of order. It's going to be hard because it's a bit all over the place. But what I can say first up, just on English and Invincible Star, Adrian Botta said there won't be anything until maybe later today. And I've spoken with Mark Van Gestel, the Chief Steward of Racing New South Wales. He's saying that there may be not anything until Thursday or Friday, that once they the horses get inspected today by Leanne Begg, and then they work out how they want to do it. Obviously, Duff, Invincible Star is of more concern, grade 3 out of 5, than English at 1 out of 5. But you don't want them in this condition. So it's really stewards keeping a very close eye. But Mark's saying maybe Thursday, Friday is where we'll get a better picture.
Yeah, it's looking that way, Andrew, I suppose. Invincible Star, well, it's been well documented. She's had two knee operations and she went round on that hard track on Saturday. And English, the last 20 metres of a trial, she seemed to pull up very quickly there. So there's obviously a little issue with her as well. So, look, they'll get on top of it. They'll they'll get the veterinary clearances or non-clearances and we'll know in due time.
And the other one, of course, is the Australian Turf Club slot where Nature Strip is now out. And my understanding is that it'll be tomorrow that there'll be some sort of an announcement, or if not late today, but more of a chance tomorrow. Dean, if we can go back to Friday night, we'll start there with the Moyer and the boys can jump in, obviously. But Vidora wins it. And there seems to be still a little bit of discussion whether she's actually going to get a slot in the race.
Yes, yeah, certainly. She's an informed horse, so you'd want to see her there, really. It's just a matter of who takes her and what the negotiations are, I suppose.
Nature Strip, obviously the disappointment. Was it a case, do you think, that the horse just simply had enough?
I reckon there's a couple of things. I think you're right. I think he's had enough. I think that last run where he had to really work hard, and that might have been the end of him. He'd lightened off a little bit, I thought, on Friday night. And I just don't think, even though he's won there two or three times, I think he's a much better horse away from Moonee Valley. I think he's a big track horse. He showed that at Morpheville. He's shown it down the straight. Nearly ran a record at Sandown. I much prefer to see him on bigger tracks.
What did you think of the race, Ron?
She was brilliant. It played into her hands when Fartinar went forward there and aggressively went forward. That sort of really poured the pressure on and set it up for a few back markers. But she's great. She's a big-time performer, isn't she? I'd suggest these slot holders, looking at long-term weather forecasts, would probably want to cover their bases with something that may handle a wet track. So they're saying plenty of rain in, you know, up to 3 inches, as some sites are saying, leading into the Everest. So if you're a slot holder now, I'm sure you'd be having one eye on the wet track form. What has she done on the wet? Yeah, she ticks a few little boxes, although the Goodwood was run on a soft six, and she wasn't right that day.
No, she
wasn't right. No. So, yeah, look, I can't see any reason why she's not one of the go-to horses here. And she's proven on the right leg when she went at the Gold Coast, winning the sprint there. So she's a proven traveller. She's ticking a lot of boxes that you want ticked as an Everest performer. There's no doubt about it.
What do we do here with Brave Smash Duff? I think listening to you, I think it was Saturday when we spoke briefly about it, but you were impressed by the performance there.
Look, I just love the way he's been handled, this preparation. He's the only bet I've had in the race, you know, at the big odds. I really like this horse. They didn't know he was a miler or whatever last preparation, and they've just had an early slot. Darren Weir's just ticking him over before. He doesn't want to get him to 1,200 before the Everest. I reckon he's okay on the wet, and they got blinkers up the sleeve. They got a very confident jockey in Bowman. I think he's over the odds. So, you know, as long, that's without talking about, you know, what happened here on Saturday.
Yeah, understand. Just before I get a market update on the Everest from Glenn, but for you, Dean, Vidora, you've spoken about, just take us through, like, Brave Smash, Pride, Hoots, and a couple of others. What were your thoughts on the race?
Yeah, Brave Smash was terrific because it was back to 1,000, and 1,200's going to suit him a lot better, and he's proven it. In last year's Everest, he's a great winning chance, I think. Yeah, Hootson was okay. I think she was probably another one that probably came off that hard race with Nature Strip and just a little bit flat. But Sprite was probably the one that ducked through and got the Group 1 placing, put a lot of value on her. Going forward, Brave Smashers. The first two, I think, were certainly the clear pick runs going forward.
And Vidora needs the slot as Lloyd Kennewell is anxiously hoping to get one. What's the market done then over the weekend? We'll get to the Premier. So give us the market first, Glenn.
Well, Andrew, the horses sort of go into a clothes dryer and over the weekend because it's been all over the place. We've now got three horses at $7 equal favourite for the Everest, and they are Santa Ana Lane on the back of its win on Saturday. Trapeze Artist, who was out to $8, and there was another bet yesterday of $20,000 at $8. Trapeze Artist to win the Everest. He's back into $7. Vega Magic, who stayed at home on Saturday, was made $7 equal favourite on the back of what happened, mainly in the Premier. Then we've got In Her Time at $8. Red Zell and Shoals are both $9 chances. US Navy Flag, I'll tell you what, the groundswell of popularity for this horse is growing over the last week. He's at Canterbury in the quarantine station at the moment. He's an $11 chance. You've got Brave Smash, Graf and Kemantari. And Kemantari, a forgotten runner, I suppose you would say, here at 13. Vidora's there at 15. And then you've got English, Home of the Brave, Invincible Star. Le Romaine, whispers about it, and Zusane, all at $26 for the Everest at the moment. So I don't really know, to be honest with you.
What do we do then with the Premier? If we stay with the Everest stuff, Santa Ana Lane wins, and then Trapeze Artist runs fourth, and Red Zell finishes behind it. What do you take out of the Premier going towards the Everest?
I take out that there's two beautifully prepared horses, 1-2. They're just going to absolutely be airborne on the day, Santa Ana Lane and Shoals, and they both handle the going. I'm nearly thinking they should be nearly the favourites from what I'm looking at. I thought In Her Time can only improve off that. She'll want a barrier come the day, just what she does best, stalk the hot speed and pounce on them. Trapeze Artist, it's been well documented the difference between his second up form and his third up form. Third up form is just unbelievable. Yeah. And Red Zell, well, it's the run after a setback, a typical Team Snowden. Beware of the lead up into a grand final with a Snowden horse, I say, and I say it with the golden slipper time, and it's proven right now and a lot of times. So all those first five across the line, I'm not putting the pen through. It's just you can't. It was a very, like I say, it was a wind-assisted day. Everyone's saying, oh, they've run that time, it's going to be a gut buster for them. It was far from that. So I'm Shoals out of that race personally.
Yeah.
I just love the way they're both ticking along. Second up, they go in third up. It's just a big the plan. Everyone needs a plan, and you can just see with these Victorians, they've had this plan a long way through. The Brave Smashes.
One of the only lots that haven't had an interrupted campaign. When you look, you know, Red Zell's had an interrupted campaign.
Yep.
Trapeze Artist, not really interrupted, but nowhere near as effective as you said, second up.
Yeah.
Red Zell's had the interrupted campaign. In Her Time, semi-interrupted, had to change trainers going along. No casting aspersions on Chris Lees, but, you know, she's going along and Ben Smith's got her there and doing what he wants. And now Chris has got to try and learn about her. One massive advantage he's got, his number one man is Cameron Swan, and he's been on In Her Time's back since day one.
Yeah.
So that's one advantage you've got there. But, you know, Shoals and Santa Ana Lane have just rolled along without any hiccups.
Dean, you know these horses. You see them race regularly out of Victoria, Melbourne, and you obviously watched on Saturday. What do you take out of the Friedman pair?
He's just so confident at the moment, Santa Ana Lane. He's always been a good horse. They've just got him right, and he's going great guns. And Shoals, I thought she was a surprise pick a long way out because she won her Group 1s just against the fillies or fillies and mares. But, she's elevated again. That was a terrific run on Saturday. And she's such a mare that carries a fair bit of condition. So I still think there's a fair bit to probably come in the next 2 weeks with her as well. So they've set them up really well to have an assault at this race.
It's interesting. Peter Snowden was on with us yesterday morning, Duff, and he admitted to us that he was a bit angry after straight after the race that he thought Kieran McAvoy just went a bit hard on Red Zell 24 hours sort of after, and thinking about just how strong the wind was, he sort of wasn't as angry.
No, and we all thought maybe, oh, beautiful barrier, just a controlling position. But there was no intent to take the lead on Invincible Star. So, and then the pressure went on a little bit quicker than expected there. She didn't prop up outside him. So I think it's a forgiving run considering the circumstances.
All right. 13:53:53. We'll take your calls after our first break. 13:53:53. We'll just focus in on Randwick, Duff. Obviously, the Epsom went to Hartnell. We saw Patrick Erin. Now that little penalty into the Caulfield Cup and those races in Melbourne. And Chris Waller was really quite confident about the horse that and when we spoke to him on Saturday morning.
Yeah, he's he was been saying for the last week that he was probably his best chance in the race, and he was proven correct at 16-1 there, or $16, 15-1, and just got the nice, beautiful ride there, a typical, beautiful staying ride there by Brown, Corey Brown, and got the job done. It wasn't a fast race.
It was a canter.
Yeah, so it really affected a lot of horses in that race. Bremen Rocks, a canter, bad ran really, really well, and High Bridge was very good at considering the circumstances, as was Mid-Term. They were two that were out the back, and it was very hard for those horses, considering the early tempo of that race.
And Dean, obviously with Mid-Term, I know Duff was quite surprised with the tactics that came out on Friday in a race that lacked pace.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, these stayers, on a day where we had such great sprinters going around, Mid-Term ran the third best last 200 of the meeting. And
wow.
An opposition finished down the track, ran the sixth best last 200 of the meeting. So
that says everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, they just shouldn't be running that quickly at the end of a mile and a half. So it was basically about a 700-metre sprint.
Hartnell, Dargento, Unforgotten, finishing 1-2-3 in the Tab Epsom.
Yeah, we should have learned. His class prevailed there. He got to stupid odds when you redo the race after the event, which mainly you can find a case for a winner after redoing it, but he back to a handicap. We know what his form is like at Randwick. You know, if you take out Winks, he's a superstar. Just the jury was out on a couple of runs back, but certainly the race he come out of seems okay now. So hats off to them for making that decision to run him in that race. They had other options, and they got a lovely result. Dargento's still work in progress. She just couldn't stay at a mile, could she? Unforgotten. She's really going well. Shillelagh's airborne. Other than that, I couldn't say much about the rest. But the two probably spruik horses, Dargento and Unforgotten, lost no admirers there.
No, I mean, the thing that came out for me, Dean, was Hartnell looked at probably the 100 that he was going to win sort of comfortably, but Dargento really did find.
Yeah, he did, but we see these horses often sort of confined just to wait for age racing. That's where they stay, and it was a good plan to bring him back to a handicap on Saturday, and just shows the difference of you know, the way the races are run, etc., and that you can carry the weight and win.
Munn's $20 for Hartnell, as Duff said. It's a massive, massive price for a horse that, well, did get forgotten.
Well, I think it was one of those situations, Andrew, was a horse out of sight, out of mind, when we hadn't seen him in Sydney, and we just associated with him every time he came to Sydney. He got beaten up by Winks.
Yeah.
And whether or not he had been Winksed. But, you know, if you looked at, you know, his rating compared to the others and the closest of the weights, as Ronnie said, you look at it in a different light after the race. But even being a 20-1 chance, he was probably still in the top 7 or 8 picks in the race. Because you had the three favourites, you had Unforgotten, Dargento, Pierrada, single figures, and then you went straight to about a $14, $15 chance. So even being a 20-1 chance, he wasn't out of the market as a 20-1 chance, because the three in the three at the top of the betting held so much of the market there, and the rest were, you know, fairly wide.
The Fian Stakes is a race I must say, tongue in cheek, we did probably laughed at the result there that day, but that's proved quite a solid race, Dino.
It was. I mean, yeah, the winner was a bit of a surprise winner because he'd come off the winter form. But those horses building and Hartnell had that solid hit out, you know, because he went for home pretty early that day, and he had the three weeks between runs, and Night Watchers come out of it, and Homesman. They weren't probably, you know, horses, especially like Homesman. He had improvement with the blinkers on Saturday and different scenarios. But it's setting up well for the spring, that race.
Guys, we'll wrap Sydney up before we take this first break. Uhu Duff finally wins a race, and it's a big Group 1 at Randwick.
Yeah, good on them. They persevered, and she just got the job done. Fancy winning $1 million before winning a maiden, and winning a maiden and a proper group, Phillies Group 1. So,
well, it's the only thing she needed on her CV, wasn't it? She was Group 1 place so many times, so she just needed the Group 1 win, and and a win, and she got both.
Yeah, she did. And Fiesta's as brave as they come. She just run the mile, and she just never lets her supporters down there. And she's one to follow. This Nikita Jane, she's a talent. There's no doubt about that. She's
strong.
Yeah, she's Don't know what their next move. Probably
yeah,
the
they're
paddock.
Going spell. Yeah,
spell
going
autumn.
Spell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why not? Yeah. So they put their hand in their pocket and paid the late entry, and they also obviously got a terrific result there. The favourite, Miss Fabulous, she's still work in progress. I don't think we'll ever see Karen McAvoy giving her a dig out of the barriers anymore. That backfired. I can understand why, considering her where she drew and where she was in the marketplace and the makeup of that field with the speed map. But she just when she gets revved up early, I'm not saying he revved her up. He just made a jump, just probably one third the rail or two back the rail, and it didn't happen for her. But she'll be fine. She's a good filly.
She goes for a spell. Mate of Heaven is going to line up in the spring champion. I just got a text from Mark Unum. So while Nikita Jane goes for a spell, Ron, Mate of Heaven goes to this Saturday.
Well, it's going to be a race, isn't it? I'm starting to love the makeup of this spring champion stakes. A really up and comer in Thinking Big. Aramayo comes out of, swooping on them at Newcastle. Dealmaker's had a little freshen up. Maybe, I don't know if it's a setback. The name on everyone's lips is Frankly Awesome. And two starts, two wins at the country and provincials. But she's got that, that Frankel. Everyone looks at that Frankel angle there. And then Mickey Blue Eyes, who was terrific on Saturday, along with Purple Sector. So I think this is shaping up to be a terrific spring champion stakes.
It will be for sure. That final field is out tomorrow. Gee, time goes quick in this hour, doesn't it?
Certainly well, you're normally texting and listening, Andrew, rather than being in control.
Telling us what to say.
Well, I was actually going to text you, Munns, there 10 minutes ago, and I thought better of it. I thought, hang on, I'll just let it be. We're going to take a news break, then we'll come back. By the way, I want the three of you to tell me who Liam Payne is before we finish at 10 o'clock. So if you can please investigate who Liam Payne is.
Is he related to David?
It could be,
Patrick.
as long as he's not riding the first favourite.
Let's go and get the latest in news with Maddie Sloan.
Another quick success story about radio. A brand manager needed to promote a new source, a yummy new source.
Yum!
She knew that, on average, Australians listen to the radio for 2 hours and 10 minutes each day. So she ran a tasty radio ad telling everyone how
yum!
Her new brand of was. People heard the ads in there. They heard them in the... And while they made
dinner.
Soon the
yum.
New brand of was on
dinner.
Tables everywhere, all thanks to radio. Alive with listeners, alive with results. Visit radioalive.com.au.
Good morning, Madison Clare Sloan with your Sky Sports Radio news. Kangaroos coach Mal Meninga has named four debutants in a 19-man squad for tests against New Zealand and Tonga, with Greg Inglis installed as captain. James Tedesco, Latrell Mitchell, Damian Cook and Tyrone Peachy will all make their debut. The Wallabies are staring down the barrel of their first wooden spoon in the Rugby Championship if they slump to yet another defeat in Argentina this weekend. While Socceroos captain and veteran defender Mile Jedinak has announced his immediate retirement from international football, forcing a leadership revamp for next year's Asian Cup defence. In basketball, Andrew Bogut gave the Kings an injury scare yesterday after limping off the court in their 110-91 loss to the LA Clippers. And in cricket, it was meant to be all about the return of Pat Cummins, but instead New South Wales rookie Jack Edwards and Moses Henriquez stole the show as the Blues claimed a 6-wicket win over Queensland. That's all the latest in sport on Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
It's Cheval Grand. Cheval Grand goes on and wins the Japan Cup.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
He's back. Comedy Equine presents champion Bling It On. Australian 2 and 3 year old of the year. 16-time group winner and $1.65 million owner. He's the complete package. Go to comedyequine.com.au for all your stallion inquiries.
So, who are you backing in the next?
Well, I like this one at the distance, but...
Whoever you're backing, Tab's got you covered for a huge weekend of spring racing. This Saturday, place a fixed odds win bet on races 1-6 at Randwick and Flemington. If your horse runs second or third, get a bonus bet back up to $50.
We're on here, boys. Lock it in.
Who are you backing this spring? Tab. Download the app today. Tab account bets only. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
You're listening to Punters Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
It is Punters Postmortem on a Tuesday with our long weekend of racing. You can give us a call and chat to the experts. Ron Duffacy, Dean Lester, and for a lesser extent, the Tabs Glenn Munsey. 13 53. Whack. 13 53 53. But you'll get me by 10 o'clock, won't you?
Yeah, try getting a paper next time you want one, Andrew, on a Saturday morning.
13, or a Pepsi Max.
You're up here. I'll get him a Pepsi. Yeah, 13 53 53. We'll take your calls. Just before we get to them, I just want to clear up Randwick because, Ron, I was watching in the grandstand there on Saturday and I love the win that Ace High. You know, horses were threatening, but gee, was strong through the line heading towards Melbourne.
That's the word, isn't it? Strong, very, very strong. There's no doubt about it. We got a little bit of speed on there when Who Shot the Barman took off mid-race, and it just played right to his strengths there. There's no doubt about it. And we were worried about him over that one run that he put in that's not in his makeup, but we can just put that out of our mind now. Look, it's not going to be easy winning a Caulfield Cup or whatever is Melbourne Cup if they're thinking that way. So it's this. But one thing they've got in their favour, they've got a horse at the top of his game now, and he'll go there with a full head of steam. So, yeah, that's how you want to see your horses going into a spring, into a Melbourne spring, winning like that.
Yeah, for sure. We'll get a Cup market update for Caulfield and the Melbourne Cup shortly from Glenn, but let's get to the calls, 13 53 53, and Paul's our first. Morning to you, Paul.
Good morning. So I just wanted to find out the wet form for Care to Think and who's riding it in Kosciuszko, and Trapeze Artist and who's riding it in the Everest.
Well, certainly Trapeze Artist is Ty England. And, well, the big thing with this horse, Ron, is the third up form, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. He's got Group 1 form third up, and it's been well documented, and he's got patchy wet form, although I think he would have preferred it a little, no worse than soft, put it that way. And I actually did the wet track form on those Kosciuszko runners yesterday, and Care to Think's never been on a heavy track. If we happen to, you know, we're getting way ahead of ourselves there.
Yeah, he struck a lot of bad tracks in Brisbane over the winter when the tracks were a little bit dodgy at Doomben, and he had bad barriers.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
The majority of the times there too.
Yeah, so he had the heavy run obviously last start at Doomben, and that was in the Stradbroke, and he tailed off there. That was his first try on a heavy track, and he failed. So the jury's out on him. I would have probably thought they would have wanted a dry track with Care to Think as well, although he won that trial at Ballina on that soft six on Saturday, looking very, very good, but that obviously against maidenness.
Yeah, he's got, while he's on the raw, if you look at the record, he's had 8 goes on the soft for 1 win and 4 placings. So,
and that win was on a highway at Randwick on a soft six, and they ran 126 for 1,400, so that was pretty soft.
Okay, and I'm just going back to try and find out in all my notes here who's riding the horse.
Huey Bowman.
Okay, thanks, Glenn. So Hugh Bowman and Care to Think. And the other one, Paul, was Trapeze Artist. That's going to be Ty England.
So it's undecided on the wet form. I was thinking of putting the bet on now, but weather permitting, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, the long term says there's going to be rain. Well, certainly short term rain this week and then more next week. But it's a gambling game, I guess, Paul. Good on you, mate. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Mark now. Morning to you, Mark.
Oh, good morning, Andrew. I thought that Hartler was a gift on Saturday. He was down 2 kilos off his weight for age. He carried 62 kilos a few runs before that. He was just set up perfect.
Well, you got it right, mate, because, you would have got excited when he started looming up out wide.
Well, in my eyes, you got a horse there that does weight for age and wins, and does handicaps at that level and wins and takes on horses of the moment, and he's 4 years older than him.
Yeah. What do you think, Duff?
Yeah, look, you're proven correct. So you've got to have your own opinion, and if that's what you thought, I hope you capitalised on it and put your money on him. Obviously you did. So it was a solid performance from a, well, as you said, the class horse. And I reckon the last 4 or 5 years. Maybe I might be wrong here, but something around the 57 mark has won the Epsom. So it's turned into the horses up in the weights that are winning this race in the modern times.
The big thing is now, Dean, what they do with him. They probably hesitate taking on Winks in the Cox Plate, but I guess they need a run to get to that old McKinnon race, don't they?
Do they want to go to 2,000 anymore with him?
I
thought I heard James Cummings say maybe sprint a mile is where he's at now.
Righto.
I wouldn't be surprised if he ran in the Cantala Stakes in the mile race on Derby Day.
On Derby Day, yeah. Okay.
Actually, the last four winners of the Epsom are Winks. I think she had 57. Yep. Hiraki had a bit of weight, and Happy Clapper had a bit of weight as well. So it's proven to be the horses up in the weights in the last 4 years.
Class prevails. On Putters Postmortem, 13:53:53. Joe's online. Morning, Joe.
Good morning, gentlemen. Listen, last year Melbourne Cup, I backed a horse called Nakita. Or is he coming back this year, or is she? I don't know if it's a she or he.
Yeah,
don't know.
Is that the horse from Scotland?
Yeah, Ian Jardine. Yeah.
He's in the market. He's in the fixed odds, 50-1.
I haven't seen his name on the list of horses coming, Joe, but let me try and get some answers for you. I'll try and get an answer before we finish at 10, whether he's coming on that. There was horses arrived on the weekend, but there's another shipment for Melbourne Cup horses only. So keep listing and I'll try and get an answer for you.
Thank you very much.
Good on you, Joe. That's Joe there.
Texting, Andrew.
Yeah, I'll start texting. But I won't text you guys for a change here on the show. Just before I talk about Caulfield with Dean and the boys, the two-year-olds, Ron, Catch Me and Dubious. How do you see them?
Yeah, two nice horses. This obviously, they looked even races going in, which is unusual for these two-year-old races. Usually there's a standout, but she's a lovely filly, this. I know she didn't run the time of the colt. Catch Me, but she's just arrogant in her nature and what she's done, and she's probably had one or two less preparations building into this, being an Easter yearling, one of the only Easter horses over the two races, where the most the others were, you know, Classic and Magic Million type. So she stamped herself top quality, I've got no doubt about that. And Dubious, well, you've got to take your hat off to the Ma and to Eustace Stables. You know, they bit the bullet. They come here. They like the horse. They trialled him here, and he run the time, and he did it covering ground. I thought it was an excellent performance from him. He's a real improver in his own right. So the two winners from me, Chromeric out of the Colts will improve, but they're on their way. They're on their way without, you know, saying there's your Golden Slipper winner.
Dean, you've obviously looked at how quick, you know, with that gale force, an unbelievable strong wind that they were racing with on Saturday. But how did you take up the two-year-old?
Yeah, well, it was a good effort from Dubious in the Colts. They obviously ran very, very good time. And as Duff said, there was no real standout going in. Was there one from the yard going forward you liked, Duff? I thought the one of Run of Rome was quite good.
Yeah, he was ridden quietly and rushed home late there. I think they've got an opinion of him as well. And he might have been the other Easter yearling on the day. I might be wrong. But I still think she has more to offer, Catch Me, as far as the yard, what she did, what's to come, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Glenn, if I can come to you, I just want to update on those Caulfield and Melbourne Cup markets since we spoke with Ace High. And 13:53:53 is the talkback number to talk to Duff, Dino, and Glenn. 13:53:53. What's happened with the cups?
Well, Kings will in the Caulfield Cup. Kings Will Dream, the clear favourite for the Caulfield Cup now, a $4.50 chance over Homesman, the winner on Sunday at 7. Knight's Watch is an $8 chance. Avilius, who goes round in the Bart Cummings on Saturday, is a $9 chance. Ace High is there, is 11. Tosin Basil, who was beaten narrowly on Sunday at 13. Young Star, 13. You've got Egg Tart, Emotionless, Grunt, Unforgotten there at $17 and $26 and longer the rest. Whilst in the Melbourne Cup, the equal favourites now all at $13. There's five runners. Cross Counter, Homesman, Kings Will Dream, Magic Circle and Toes and Basil. They're all $13 chances. Four runners at $17. Avilius, Hamada, Latrobe and Withhold. And then Ace High along with a stack of others at $26. So Of course, the Melbourne Cup nowhere near as clear market-wise as what the Caulfield Cup is at the moment.
Andrew, any talk of any internationals running first up in the Caulfield Cup?
Yes, there are a few. The Ron that arrived on the weekend, Dino.
Giretto.
Yeah.
Giretto for Andrew Balding's one.
Yeah, no. I'll have a look, Ron, but there certainly... And the issue they've had, Duff, is the quarantine because they were on their way and had to stay in Sharjah for an extraordinary amount of time with a... The plane had a, oh, I think it was
broken
a broken
windscreen.
Yeah, cracked windscreen. So their trip was ended up 60 hours door to door with temperatures of mid 30s in Sharjah, and they were stuck on the plane. So the early reports are good, Dean, but gee, it's a hell of a long time just sitting on that ground at Sharjah.
Yeah, it is. It's probably going to affect the ones more that we're going to run Caulfield Stakes, Herbert Power. The Caulfield Cup horses have got an extra week.
Yep. I reckon there's going to be a few that would like to run in the Herbert Power, obviously, that are down in the order of entry.
Yeah, or they would, and take their chances of getting into either the Caulfield Cup or getting a penalty for the Melbourne Cup.
When they were stranded, obviously, there was controlled temperature in that plane, wouldn't
there? Yes, they were air-conditioned. Yeah. No, it was air-conditioned.
Yeah,
so
fair enough.
The externals, but it's just standing there for the long time.
Fair enough, exactly.
Now you know how people feel in economy, Ron. You know, how those horses were there. You know, I know up the pointy end of the plane, you know, you're an arm's length away from the captain. But, you know, and, you know, it would be a different sort of reception that you'd be gaining at that part of the plane as to what the normal people would down the
different
back.
Air. Different air.
You haven't seen some of these horse, you fandangled horse floats, some of these horses travel in these days. It's like first class.
Some of us are used to it.
I've only seen photos.
Let's go and talk to Caulfield. Dean, what a massive day it was on Sunday. Well, you started earlier with the Underwood, the win of Holmesman and a couple of other really strong runs.
Yeah, Holmesman, very good. The blinkers went back on and he looked very fit first up, but he made nice improvement and it was, I thought, a really smart ride and he won. But the one that we didn't know a lot about off his first run because he got back and never really fired was Tosin Basil, but we learned a lot more about him on Sunday that, he's on song for the longer races.
Well, they were a bit surprised by his first up run. I remember interviewing Jared McLean and Jared said, no, we're expecting something first up. So they were disappointed with that first up run.
Yeah, they were. I think when you break down the race, how it was run that day, it was a very fast race, but from the 800 to the 400, he was the quickest to get into the race, and I just think he probably peaked on his run, and just a day at the races, you can just see how much he tightened up with that one run.
I thought Blair House was a forgiving performance. He never got a chance to open right up.
No, I'd agree with that. Probably as soon as he missed the start and landed behind Humidor, he was probably condemned to that spot. I think if he'd been where Humidor was, he'd have gone as close as Humidor did. So, I'd be forgiving of his run. I thought he ran well. He seems a little bit of a quirky character, but, he certainly ran quite well.
They've extended the noms. Just before we go to Bob, just hang on one sec, Bob. This Turnbull on Saturday, we know the champion mare is there, but Grunt is there. Getting to Flemington, they've been tossing around. You just never take the horse back to Caulfield, would you?
No, I don't think I've seen one, a Melbourne horse, as bad at Caulfield as he is. He won't change leg. He just goes very poorly there. And he's just a different horse. He flows around the bends at Flemington, but not at Caulfield. He rolled him along at a nice speed, which suits that horse. You could tell before the turn he wasn't going to be in the finish.
Anyway, he's in those entries for the Turnbull up against Winx on Saturday. Morning to you, Bob.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How's it going?
Flying here. I reckon this is a tighter show. Duff's up and about with no TK this morning, Bob.
No good for Duff.
No.
Okay, could I speak to Duff, please, Andrew?
G'day, Bob.
G'day, champ. I finally got to talk to you.
Good on you.
Anyhow, I was looking at the races yesterday, and there was a horse walking around with a very pronounced walk on it.
Mm-hmm.
It was Villacello, I think.
Velocita.
Velocita, was it?
Yeah, it's got string on.
And looking at it, you'd think he wouldn't even be able to get into a canter.
What's the story about that fella?
Yeah, they call it Stringalt. So some horses, there's a nerve and they walk funny, but once you get them into a canter and that, they're fine. There's a few around. Yeah. There's a few around. So it's not uncommon, Bob. So it looks very strange if you're looking from an outsider looking in saying, well, that won't be able to trot. It's broken down.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought.
Yeah,
well,
no.
What? The steward's gone to sleep here. Well, that goes to show how much I bloody know.
No, a lot of people don't know about it. A lot of people don't know about it.
Yeah.
No. Good on you, Bob. You've learned something. Every day we've got to learn something.
Mate, you certainly do. You have a nice day, gentlemen.
Good on you, Bob. Bob joining us there on 1353-53. Wayne, good morning to you.
Morning, boys.
How are you, Wayne? What's doing?
I heard McAvoy say that he's going to take the Hood to the Caulfield Guineas. Is that right?
Yep.
Against the boys, isn't it?
Yep.
He's going to run her against the boys and not the girls.
Yep.
What's he thinking there, Dan? Yeah.
Well, she's run second and third in a Blue Diamond Golden Slipper against the boys and the size. She's virtually raced against the boys most of her career. One's 500 grand, one's 2 million.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
The boys, I mean, the Autumn Sun is a massive stumbling block. But I don't think there's a lot. The colts down here are just fair.
Yep.
What's the market telling us there, Glenn?
For the Caulfield Guineas, Andrew. Yeah, I'll scroll back down to it.
And I will say, just while you're doing that, Nikita, the Scottish horse, is in quarantine. I'm just trying to determine whether it's arrived or whether it's quarantined.
He'd be in the next slot because he's only running in the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, he's only entered Melbourne Cup, but certainly is in quarantine. We thank Paul Bloodworth from Racing Victoria for that info. Glenn?
Yeah, the Autumn Sun, the 260 favourite for the Caulfield Guineas over Leonardo da Vinci and Smart Melody and $7 each of two. Native Soldier, who led all the way to win on Sunday at $9. Declaration of Heart. Jockey said he thinks he's more Derby type. He was very one-paced on Sunday. He was up him 300 metres after the start. Long Leaf and Ahud, all at $13. We've got Gem Song, Good and Fast, Tavasan and Wagner at $17, $26 and longer the rest. That's the Caulfield Guineas.
Yep.
Whilst the 1,000 Guineas has Smart Melody, the $3 favourite there, over Stablemate El Dorado Dreaming at $5.50. Thrillster is a $7 chance. Amphitrite, thanks, Dino. Fiesta, Music Bay, Mystic Journey, and Ahud, all at $13, and then a stack of them at $17. But Chris Lees has got the foot on them there with Smart Melody and El Dorado Dreaming. Wasn't it a run Sunday?
We haven't even got to it. Let's just take a call, and then we'll talk about those two preludes with Caulfield. Warwick, good morning to you, mate.
Yeah, hi, guys. I've got to talk about Everest prize money. We all know it's all gone up from 10 million to 13 million. But out of the first prize money, do any of you guys, I know the answer by the way, do any of you guys know how much it's increased from last year? Out of that 3 million increase, how much is first prize money increased by?
A round of drinks.
Not much.
Yeah, 200,000, a piddling 200,000.
So. Yeah, but I think it's made it more viable for the slot holders right down further down to get some of their $600,000 investment back.
You get half back, don't you?
Well, that's instead of, you know, that's like, it was supposed to be a bit of a risk. Now it's sort of a business case, you know, it's gone from 175 to 300,000, so you get half the money back. That's pretty good. Going by my reading of it, and then you've got the second prize money actually going up $675,000, and third $400,000. I mean, I just find it extraordinary that the first prize money, you know, you're getting wide-handed something like $1.3 million. So in other words, you used to get 58%, and now it's 46.2% of the first prize. It's you know, I mean, it's crazy when they've said. Last year, it'd be 58%, you know.
Well, I think, Warwick, what they've done is that they've looked at the first year. They're aware that, you know, the slot owners, obviously, Duff are putting in 600,000. So It's an evolving year-by-year race, and Racing New South Wales have made these decisions with the Turf Club.
And I think they've made the decisions for the sustainability of the race as well, in long term. And I think, you know, still you knock off 300, it's still not a good feeling. So there's still risk there.
Yeah, for sure. Just before our next couple of calls, let's just cover off on these Guineas preludes, Dean, from Sunday. We haven't spoken about Smart Melody. Decisions later today, but Chris Lees is pushing solid here for the 1,000 Guineas rather than the Coolmore.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Mm. You know, I think the way the Coolmore is evolving, it's setting up ideally for her, but having had straight track experience. But she was good on Sunday. She was asked a bit of on straightening, and you know, she probably had enough on the line, but she was entitled to probably by that stage.
Would you do what Chris is thinking?
I wouldn't second guess a trainer, Andrew. But I just thought that having had the straight track experience and never could be really dynamic at 1200, that would be a good target. But I think she's the top seed of the fillies. She's just got to lengthen it out to the mile.
And just being trackside, Dean, how did El Dorado Dreaming look?
I thought she looked great. She's forward, she's got great muscle tone. I thought she was terrific, everything about her. The first four there, and I'd even extend it to Quafilla, who ran fifth, not as a Guineas chance, but might be a little sneaky Oaks chance. I think any of the first four, Thrillster was an unbelievable run where she was on the run. She was four and five wide the whole way, just couldn't get in and just kept coming. It was a fantastic run. El Dorado Dreaming, very solid, as mentioned. And Anjana just got stuck behind Satin Slipper, who didn't take her anywhere into the race. And she galloped to the line pretty strongly, and her run was very good also.
I think the owners of the Stallions heading towards the Coolmore are breathing a sigh of relief.
Yeah, the $20 million one. Yeah, we won't get that for a filly, so yes.
No.
Get her out of the picture.
Yeah. What about Native Soldier?
He was good. The fillies, I think, was a better race. Native Soldier got across. He went pretty solid early and then backed it off in the middle stages. But ultimately, him and Tavasan ran first and second. When they backed it off, no one sort of rolled into the race. So they got a pretty easy time of it and then kicked on. Longleaf was the best from back. But, they're not grabbing me as Guineas horses anyway.
Any thoughts there, Duff?
No opinion. I'll leave Dean's. Knows more about that than those.
We're getting close to finding out who Liam Payne is, but let's go to Chris. Chris is online here on Punters Postmortem. Morning, mate.
Oh, Bensley, how are you, mate? Oh, it's Dean Lester.
Yes.
Listen, I want to know about a horse in South Australia if it's coming back. It's called Mio Mio.
Oh, I wouldn't know, to be honest. Mio Dio, wasn't it? Will Clarkin.
I'm not quite sure, but I know it's in the South Australian.
Yeah,
horse.
It used to be a Victorian horse, and Will Clarkin's had it for about 12 months over there. Retired, actually, comes up as 8-year-old retired.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah. Good on you. Bye. Well done. Thanks, Chris. 8-year-old retired there. And last call of the morning. Who do you reckon it is, boys? Who's going to introduce him?
Is that you, Liam?
coming, Kurt. Morning, Kurt.
Morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm a bit nervous, Kurt, but I've got to time it out to 10 o'clock here. I'm under extreme pressure. What's going on?
Good to hear your voice, my friend. I only pop it once a week, mate. I've got to get my dose once a week of the Sydney Institution in Ronald Duffercy.
Good on you, Kurt.
Ronnie, seriously, mate, did you see a horse named, I think it was at Hawkesbury last Thursday, Costello, and if he's on a derby trail, Deep Pain Yard.
Yeah.
Is he what?
Ronald?
Yeah, they said after the race that they're thinking that way. He did a good job. I don't know how strong that race was, but there is talk of him. So if you
geez, it got some reaction, the win.
Yeah, it did.
And if you see the form that it's come through, I know it's only come through maidens and that, but Purple Sector, that didn't go too bad on the weekend. there was that other one, Dealmaker, that you seen one. You know, like, it's all right, isn't it, Ron?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. Like I say, he's been work in progress. He's relatively lightly raced. And
he did it with a dead set foot in the air, as the great Laurie Olsen would say.
Yeah, he came out of that. Didn't he come out of that Purple Sector race prior to that?
Yeah, he did.
So, look, I think probably the further the better. And he adds a bit of interest.
And one other one, Ronnie, I don't know if you, I doubt you would have seen it because you're probably busy in that, but have you at least heard of this debuter named Mensa Musa? Mensa Musa from the G Ryan Yard on debut.
Where was that at?
It was at Gosford.
Yeah, I would have saw it, Kurt, but it didn't capture my attention, I don't
think. It was pretty much ditto, Ronnie. Foot in the air job debut, missed a start, still green, and just, you know, just looked like a great promising horse.
Okay, three-year-old, was it, or...?
Yep, three-year-old colt.
Okay, well, keep an eye out for him.
Anything for Dean there, Kurt?
No.
Yeah, I do, mate. No. You know, I know.
It's been a busy week.
Anyway, this horse that I remember, and I swear, the form around it is so good, Dino.
Yeah.
And I have to say it the way that it's supposed to be said.
Right.
Yulong Monoceros.
Yes.
Where is it, Dean?
That's a good question, Kurt.
It's a bit hard to put that one into your
Dr. Google very quickly. he hasn't raced since April,
Uhud form.
Oh, yeah, that tenuous Uhud form. Got beaten five lengths by Uhud, but won at Moonee Valley last time in and then ran it in Adelaide. It's active, so it's in work for Kieran Maher and Dave Eustace. So it's a very small little filly, but it does have talent, yeah.
Good on you, Kurt. We thank you for your call this morning. I'm getting mixed views here. I got told I had to be off at 10, and then Tanya's just texted me saying, don't worry, we can just run a little bit over. So
That's a game thing saying to you, Andrew.
Do I go me 8 minutes over, or what do I do here? No, we won't go 8 minutes. Caulfield, anything else of Caulfield, Dean, outside the races, the Underwood and those two guineas preludes that you wanted to bring up?
I want to mention a horse that I don't know what he's being set for. First start in Australia on Sunday in race two called Take It In Turn for Darren Weir. Came into the yard, didn't look anywhere near like a winner. Hadn't trialled too badly. Has got that much improvement in it. Got beaten less than a length, and most of the others were pretty close to their top looking at them in the yard. If he's not a pretty smart horse coming through the grades, I'd be very surprised. There's a really nice race in him over spring.
Okay, Take It In Turn, which was in race two at Caulfield. Anything else, Duff, when you were watching Sunday at Caulfield? Trekking was there doing it in the Testa Rossa?
Yeah, Trekking's franked a few horses form out of that race, that's for sure. But out of Caulfield, no.
You can have soothing back. I don't think I've seen one get around Caulfield worse.
Yeah.
Maybe Grunt. She was on the wrong leg the whole way.
It's just the obvious for me, Andrew. I'm locked into El Dorado Dreaming. I just think, you know, she just seemed to just get on the wrong leg there for one or two strides as well. And I think I'm hoping that she takes the most benefit out of that Guineas Prelude going into her next run.
And how that clash in the last, it was really on in the last, Furion and Best of Days there, Dean.
Yeah, he was very good again, Furion, because he had to be, from barrier one, ridden a bit closer. Coming to the turn, he got sandwiched between two horses. And yet, you know, for an inexperienced horse, he found a way to win. Best of Days was very good running at him, but they ran away from the rest. They ran really good time. He's a very good horse, Furion, and doing it all on raw talent at the moment.
And Kurt, Mensa Musa is a $5 chance in race four tomorrow at Warwick Farm.
Yeah, it's a strong race, that.
Okay, so there it is tomorrow. David Payne's just let me know Costello's gone to the paddock and they'll wait for the autumn. So
okay.
That's the news there from David.
Son of a Americane.
Is it? Costello, okay, righto.
It was two win the other day. It was two win on the same day. I'm sure there was one in Melbourne that won too.
Now, before
he was into $26 in the Derby, Costello.
Well, it's gone
to the
paddock.
Take it out, Glenn.
Yeah, gone to the paddock. Now, before we finish up here, because Jono's getting a bit anxious, I can see him just saying, hey, it's gone past 10 slipping. And everything. Liam Payne. Dean, who is Liam Payne?
No idea.
Ron, who is Liam Payne?
Well, I did read in the page 3 of the paper this morning, he's left one direction.
You're getting a bit nervous there.
Oh, I thought you were talking about... sorry.
He's left one direction.
I thought it was a brother they hadn't spoken about.
And he's going to sing at the Everest.
Here he is. Here he is. And then you.
I hope he's good because
is he as good as Plastic Bertrand?
I hope he's good because it gives me a chance to get out of the car park before everyone else leaves the joint.
Oh, jeez.
No, he's not the one that's made the biggest hit out of One Direction, is he? The other. Well,
no,
Niall Phillips. Doesn't he train at Geelong?
Yeah, he trains at Geelong. Niall Horan or whatever.
Yeah, but Liam Payne is ex One Direction, and he's going to be the guest star on the Everest, after the Everest there, at after the last race, and we're going to leave the show with a bit of Liam. But Duff, can you leave us with a horse to follow?
One that's very, very obvious. Yesterday, Diplomatico, he looks a carbine club Sandown Guineas horse if I've ever seen one.
Okay, out of that first race, what about you, Dean?
The horse I mentioned, Andrew, Intern. Just want to follow him through. Actually, that race it was just like a welter. Cliff's Edge won it, but Take It Intern, Waging War needs 1600. There'll be a few winners out of that race.
And anything from you, Munns, over a long weekend?
Yeah, just hope it finds a Class 1 or something, or a similarly suitable race, a horse called Red Current, who managed to resume in a benchmark 88, and it's eligible for Class 1 races, the last at Randwick on Saturday.
Okay, so we'll watch for them. All right, well, it's been good, guys, to be with you. TK will be back next week if he doesn't decide to take another long, long weekend, but it's been good to be with you.
Good on you, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Dean. And Munns, are you swinging today or not?
No. Beg your pardon, Andrew.
Gee whiz, there's a new hobby.
Yeah. I'd better go and find the car keys and put a Mercedes-Benz keyring on it. Yes. No. I might,
no swinging today?
I might have a hit tomorrow, Andrew.
Righto, you take it easy. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Andrew. Yes.
Glenn Munsey, Ron Duffersey, Dean Lester. It's been another edition of Punters Postmortem. We thank all the guys, to all our callers. We thank you. And for that gentleman that rang about Nikita, the Scottish horse, is in quarantine at Newmarket, and he'll come on the next shipment for the Melbourne Cup. And as we say goodbye, we welcome Liam Payne to Punters Postmortem.
So put your hands on my body and swing that round for me, baby. You know I love it when the music's loud, but come and strip that down for me. Yeah.